It's a question that will make a lot of Americans think.
Damn.
You think you're white. You're not. You're black.
It's a question that will make a lot of Americans angry.
In order for you to be black for the rest of your life, what would it take to compensate you for that? How much do you want?
How much do I want?
How much would it take?
We continue our series, America in Black and White. Tonight, how much is white skin worth?
This is ABC News Nightline. Reporting from Washington, Ted Koppel.
This business of skin color inevitably comes up again and again. Often as not, white Americans find themselves getting defensive on the subject. It is not, we insist, something we dwell on morning, noon, and night. It is not even the way that most of us define ourselves. We are far more conscious of our age, our health, our size, our professional standing. Race is not the obsession with white Americans that it is with African Americans, which is precisely the point of our program tonight. Because ours is still a predominantly white nation, whites have the luxury of being able to take their skin color for granted. African Americans say that they are obliged to deal with their color every day, that even if they make nothing of it, they are reminded daily in small and sometimes not so small ways that in America, blackness is still a handicap. That is a surefire way of starting an interracial argument, especially if you attach to it the suggestion that African Americans may be entitled to some sort of compensation for the inequity in their lives. It's an issue I raised while I was up in Philadelphia the other evening. If you saw the program last night, you saw the story of a black woman, Bridget Ward, and her two daughters, who were driven out by an anonymous racist letter and some equally anonymous racist graffiti. After discussing her case with her white neighbors, I brought up this question.
It does have a value. Let us say, for the sake of argument, that the government were to come to all of us tomorrow and say, we are in favor of making an annual cash grant to all African Americans in this country because it's more difficult being black in America than it is being white in America. How many of you would favor such a grant? How many of you would oppose it?
Okay. I posed the question in Brownsburg in such a way that I knew it was going to be rejected. A little later on, I'll be posing the same question to the same group, but in a totally different way. It's an exercise devised by Andrew Hacker, a political science professor at Queens College in New York. He's been conducting the same exercise with his freshman government class for 20 years.
Mr. Finley?
You're going to be visited tonight. Oh, about 8 o'clock this evening, by a visitor. Very, you know, successful-looking gentleman. Well-dressed, all the rest.
The gentleman explains that he represents the organization that was responsible for determining race.
He says, Mr. Finley, will you sit down? I've got something to tell you. See, Mr. Finley, according to our records, you are supposed to have been born black to some parents who are of African origin. Now, because our organization has the rules that it has, when we discover we make a mistake, and it's not very often, we have to correct the mistake. So tonight at midnight, Mr. Finley, you are going to turn into the young man you were supposed to have been. When you wake up in the morning, your parents may be a bit surprised. And it's not just that you're going to have, you know, shoe polish on your face. You're going to have a different bodily structure. You're going to be the 22-year-old, you know, that you were supposed to have been. You feeling okay, Mr. Finley?
Yeah.
Okay, I think you are.
Of course, none of this was Finley's fault, so the organization will make full compensation.
How much would you like, Mr. Finley?
Well, it would be a lot, probably.
Quite a bit. We could offer you $1 million a year. Would you like that?
That's pretty good for starters.
That's a pretty good start. Now, what are you telling us, Mr. Finley? Are you telling us the value of your white skin?
No,
I... You just lost that white cover, coloration. Go on.
It would just be kind of awkward for me to, like, live out the rest of my life black, because I've grown up, like, white, around, like, white surroundings. It'd probably be pretty awkward.
Hey, aren't all people created equal? Won't you be treated the same way you were up till your first 22 years?
I hope so, but I don't know that for sure.
So why would you like the million? What would you do with it?
What would I do with it? I don't know, buy a house somewhere?
Somewhere? Perhaps in a neighborhood where they'd take somebody who had a million a year?
Yeah.
Even if they were your new color?
Yes.
Or you'd have a limousine pick you up each day because you couldn't count on taxis? In other words, what we're talking about is, for those Americans who have this, what it's worth. And you only know what it's worth when you lose it.
What works as a simple academic exercise at Queens College, however, soon develops up in the Bridesburg section of Philadelphia into a prickly conversation about affirmative action. But it begins the same way.
How much do you want?
How much do I want?
How much would it take?
$250,000 a year for 50 years.
How did you calculate that?
No rhyme or reason for it. Basically, $250,000 just seems like a nice, comfortable living level.
$250,000 a year, would that be enough for you if I passed the same information on to you?
I guess so.
Right? We made a mistake. We know he's still got a long lifetime ahead.
I would take $50 million. Then I could live anywhere I want. I wouldn't have to deal with any racism.
What if you were a black guy?
I could enjoy myself.
What racism?
I could do whatever I want. Racism in America.
Oh, okay.
You're basically paying for your mistake.
I think, I mean, you'll correct me if you think I'm wrong, I think it's probably easier to be a white man in America than it is to be a black man.
I think it's easier to be a rich white man.
Absolutely. Sure. Let's assume that we're just talking about the same amount of money, right?
Right.
You're black, I'm white, or you're white, I'm black, we both make $40,000 a year. Would you rather be black or white?
I'd rather be white.
Why?
It's easier.
Really?
I admit that it's easier to be white. I admit the blacks got a bad hand dealt to them.
Why is that?
They did.
You were just telling me about half an hour ago you don't believe in affirmative action.
Right.
What I'm offering here is affirmative action.
No.
Yeah.
No,
you're not. That's not what you're offering.
No. Not really.
That's not what you're offering.
That's compensation for a major mistake.
Fact of the matter is that being black in America is a little more difficult than being white, and sometimes not a little more difficult.
The problem is you don't correct a wrong with a wrong, and if you're going to be fair, you have to be fair. I don't think people should be denied work because of their race, and I don't think they should get it because of their race. They should get whatever they get because they're qualified for it, and if you did that, you would eliminate a lot of racism.
Absolutely.
To me, affirmative action is a form of racism.
You give any one group special privileges, special rights. You're just going to have the other group angry at that.
Yes, yes.
Even if
you
they
will
have
just anger the group, the excluded group, even more.
Part of what we were saying, I think, is when you start treating anyone in a particular or special, I don't want to say special in a good sense, you know, but in a way where you're sanctioning them getting more than somebody else.
Affirmative action was
you're
a helping hand
resentments.
Up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It was a helping hand up. They needed it, like. You hear people say, well, you got to lift yourself up by your bootstraps. Well, like the guy said, I ain't got boots. So they got a helping hand up with affirmative action. You wouldn't have any cops, you wouldn't have any black firemen. You wouldn't have anything without affirmative action.
You don't think
you
so?
Wouldn't have any. No, you wouldn't have any. This is how they got their start. Now it's time to make it on your merit, and a lot of them
right.
do.
It's a problem that's been racking America's social conscience for years. The undeniable fact that being black in America is more difficult than being white. But when we conducted a national poll asking, do you think blacks and other minorities are discriminated against in hiring, there was a clear disconnect. Only 43% of the whites polled thought the answer was yes, 50% thought no. The split among blacks was 77% yes, only 17% no. Then we posed another question, which we'd like to pose to you also. Do you think blacks and other minorities should receive preference in hiring to make up for past inequalities or not? Later in the broadcast, we'll tell you how other Americans answered that question in black and white.
This is ABC News Nightline, brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Introducing the Acura RL, the new flagship from Acura. It's built on the idea that luxury doesn't have to be boring, an idea that we thought might appeal to some of you.
What if? What if my kids need shots?
What if I get transferred to another city?
What if I need to lose some weight?
What if I need an x-ray?
What if I need a new doctor?
What if my baby comes early?
What if I need blood?
What if I break my arm?
What if there were a healthcare organization with such innovative solutions to what you might need tomorrow that all you'd have to do is enjoy today?
What if my brother makes me a bug?
What if you didn't have to worry about healthcare? Blue Cross, Blue Shield.
You're on a train. Suddenly, crash, fire. You're trapped. How do you get out?
Everybody behind me talking about opening doors. I couldn't open the doors because it was jammed.
There may be a life-saving secret you need to know. Plus, Kathy Lee. America loves her, but she's got her critics. Plenty of them. Wait till you hear what she has to say. Primetime Gets It Done, Wednesday on ABC.
No matter where you travel this Memorial Day, you'll be seeing some interesting sights. Like new Dodge cars and trucks. Because Dodge's popularity is rising faster than any other American car and truck line. And now with $1,000 cash back or more, or 1.9% financing on select Dodge cars, the demand for new Dodges is sure to increase even more. So hurry to the Dodge Memorial Day event and get the whole picture. See the friendly Dodge dealer near you.
60,000 felons and fugitives tried to buy handguns but couldn't because President Clinton passed the Brady Bill. Background checks. Dolan Gingrich voted no and now want to repeal the assault weapons ban. 100,000 new police. President Clinton delivered. Dolan Gingrich voted no. Strengthen school anti-drug programs. President Clinton did it. Republicans plan to cut help to schools. Old ways don't work. President Clinton's plan, the new way. Meeting our challenges, protecting our values.
What follows is an old story, more than 40 years old, as a matter of fact, but it so graphically demonstrates the difference between being black and white at a certain time and a certain place in America that we thought the story worth telling in the context of tonight's program. This appears to be a story that turned out well. How well? We'll discuss later on when I talk to Greg Williams, who is now the dean of the Ohio State University Law School. Back in the early 1950s, Greg Williams was a white kid growing up in Virginia.
It let me go to places that I know that my black playmates couldn't go to. I really had an opportunity to see the black swimming pools, the black theaters, and other places where the black kids that I grew up with went, and they were very different than what I had access to.
Greg's father, James Buster Williams, ran a segregated roadhouse. Whites ate in the big dining room up front, blacks in the back. James' own skin was dark, but Greg's mother told him that his father was Italian and said he should be proud of his Italian heritage. But then Greg's parents broke up, and his father took Greg and his younger brother to live with their relatives. The three of them headed to Indiana by bus.
There was somewhere in Ohio, actually, I think somewhere between Columbus and Dayton, that my dad leaned across the aisle and said, "Do you remember Miss Sally?" And I remember Miss Sally. This is a woman who had drifted in and out of our lives, identified as a maid, a domestic, not anyone of great importance. And he said, "Well, that's my mother, and that's your grandmother. And in Virginia, you were white boys, but in Indiana, you're going to be colored boys."
James Buster Williams wasn't Italian, he was black. At that time in Virginia, it was illegal for him to be married to a white woman, so he had passed as white. Now back in Muncie, Indiana, with his family, he was black again, and so were his sons, no matter what their skin color was.
I lived in a society that had some very rigid lines, that was not interested in how white you were. Only issue of interest was how black were you, and if you were any part black, you were considered black.
It used to be known as the one drop rule. One drop of black blood made you black. It was, until quite recently, the law in many of our states. Until its law was repealed a little more than 10 years ago, Louisiana still held that anyone who was 1/32nd part black was black.
The message that we got from white teachers, white officials, the white citizens was, your future is limited. You cannot do certain things. In fact, many things that you think you want to do, you simply cannot do.
Appearances can be deceiving, so teachers at Gregg's schools made sure that there would be no confusion. His position on the color line was spelled out on his records, along with a warning: don't be fooled.
All they saw on my school records was race, a C for colored, and a note on the back says, father is colored, mother is white, boys appear to be white but are not. And so it mattered to the school officials, it mattered to the people who were making decisions in my life about what I could and could not do, and they couldn't see the rest of the record. All they saw was the box marked race.
One place that blacks and whites did mix was on the sports field, but friends on the field were not necessarily friends after the game was over.
I cannot recall one time during my entire elementary, junior high, and high school years that I was ever invited to the home of a white classmate.
No issue was more volatile than dating. Blacks and whites did not mix socially. Gregg was, once again, stuck on the color line.
Dating was a very difficult thing because white students and white teachers did not want me to date white girls. In fact, I was threatened with all sorts of punishment, from beatings from the kids that I was in school with to expulsion from school, in fact, if I continued to talk to white girls.
But in spite of all the pressure, Gregg began dating Sarah Whitney, a white girl. She is now his wife.
I think there was a lot of punishment for those who transgressed those social rules. And I don't have a lot of pleasant memories of high school because once I did cross those lines, I was ostracized and, you know, lost my friends.
Questionnaires, the census, all sorts of forms ask for the race of the respondent. But marking either black or white is not always easy or accurate.
I think race is an artificially created construct that we have in this country, and really we've worked harder at it in this country to divide people than I think almost any country in the world, with a few notable exceptions, which I don't think we want to be like.
Gregg Williams hopes that his story will at least make people question the concept of racial identification and the consequences of marking a box other than white. How much is white skin worth? Perhaps the years have changed the answer that Gregg Williams will give today, but I'll ask him when we come back.
Excuse me. The people who invented things that make it possible to watch this show or use voicemail or a cellular phone are no longer part of AT&T. We're Lucent Technologies. We make the things that make communications work. Sorry for the interruption.
Ah, sweet mystery of life, at last I found thee.
Harold, you seem so distant.
Nothing performs quite like it.
Whoops.
The V8-powered E420.
Tomorrow, child predators, every parent's worst nightmare. You can protect your children. We'll tell you how.
That's tomorrow
on Good Morning America.
Reinhold Bertlev had a key role in the building of Porsche's 911 Carrera. Did he design the engine? The radical suspension? No. Instead, Reinhold and his co-workers have perhaps the best job in the world. They test drive every 911 on the Autobahn. If Reinhold liked your car, we're pretty sure you'll like your car.
You work hard for your money. We work hard to help you keep more of it. You know, what you pay for a kilowatt hour of electricity from Pico Energy today is about the same as you paid 5 years ago. And you can rest assured that even though taxes or fuel costs may sometimes affect your bill, we're doing all we can to keep base rates right where they are until at least the year 2000. And that's a promise from all of us.
Yesterday, I went looking for my perfect car. My Cadillac dealer had it, but not the color. He promised he'd have it tomorrow.
Introducing Cadillac Custom Express Delivery. It's our promise. If we don't have the Cadillac you want today, in most cases, we'll have it the very next business day.
The next day, my car arrived.
Cadillac Custom Express Delivery. See your Cadillac Super Network dealers.
Joining us now from our Columbus, Ohio affiliate, WSYX, Greg Williams, Dean and Professor at The Ohio State University College of Law. Dean Williams, you have lived, in a manner of speaking, in both worlds. Let me pose the question to you that we have been addressing throughout this program. What is white skin worth in America, do you think?
I think white skin in America is worth a great deal, that many white citizens do not realize the advantages they have by being simply born white in this country.
For example?
In terms of the way that people are viewed when they go into places, in terms of how they're assessed, in terms of their ability or expertise, oftentimes that simply having white skin kind of carries a cachet of expertise and ability that does not go along with black skin.
I know you understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to say this in a fashion that won't offend other people. I have a real hard time, there's sort of a disconnect, looking at you and believing that at any time in your adult life you have experienced that kind of racism. I mean, someone would look at you and say, this man's an Anglo-Saxon.
Well, that's certainly the thing that bothered me when I was 10 years old and was thrust into the middle of the racially divided community in Muncie, Indiana. I knew that I looked white, that I'd always been white in terms of going to white schools, and so when I discovered that my grandmother was black and my father was black and other people did as well, they started treating me differently. But I knew that I was not any different, that I didn't know any less, or I didn't have any ambitions that were less than what I had when I was a white kid. And so I had to deal at age 10 with people treating me as I was different and that I couldn't do the things that I thought I could do when I was white.
I can't help but feel, Dean Williams, that a lot of people will have watched your story tonight and say, interesting, sad, poignant, but that was then, this is now, what's the relevance?
When I became dean at the Ohio State Law School, I had a lot of people who were praising me in terms of reaching that honored position in the profession. And I remember one person in particular, a white woman, who was very effusive in her praise of me, said, oh, you're at the top of the profession. Then about a couple of weeks later, she discovered that I was black. And the first question she asked, not to me, but to someone else, was, well, did he get the job because he was black? When she saw me as a white man, she assumed that I was qualified. When she discovered that I was black, she assumed I was unqualified.
Now, you have children?
I do.
Your wife is white. Does this translate now down to the next generation in any way?
My children have grown up in relatively isolated, insulated university communities. We did adopt two children from Honduras, from Central America, a couple of years ago, who do have dark skin. And one of the things that I simply cannot protect them from is the racial epithets that they experience as they go to school and ride bikes in their neighborhood and just kind of try to be little boys.
So to a certain extent, 1996, as in 1956, white skin is still worth more.
White skin is still worth more in 1996.
Dean Williams, thanks very much indeed. When we come back, you remember that question I asked you about preference in hiring? We'll give you the national answers when we come back.
It's not easy being a kid. There's a lot to worry about. Did I study enough for English? Did I bring my soccer uniform? Will I ever understand math? This is it. Is Mom getting on my case again? Am I gonna get into college? But there's one thing I'm not gonna worry about. I'm not gonna get pregnant, get sick, or something worse. That's why I'm not gonna have sex till I'm married. Sound corny? I have enough to worry about.
This is about the virtual office, about breaking the chains, stretching the boundaries, and making the world your workplace. About taking your business everywhere and anywhere. About paging, laptops, cell phones, the internet, and conferencing. And it's not conversation or speculation. This is about how one company can give you the help, hardware, and software to make your virtual office a reality. This is about how far you can go once you know how. Network MCI, that's how.
Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind.
Summer breezes from the Hampton Bay Fan and Lighting Company. Possibly the quietest fans around, and around, and around. Only at the Home Depot.
Passion. Aggression. Cool. Confident. Serene. You don't possess just one emotion. Neither should your car. The LS400, the finest automobile in the world.
If you want to see yourself in an Eagle Vision ESI, you need this free vision exam. Because right now, you can get into a sophisticated Eagle Vision ESI with air conditioning, automatic transmission, power steering and brakes, dual airbags, and AM/FM stereo for just $259 a month. But you'd better act fast, because you won't see a lease rate this low on Eagle Vision for very long. Lease Eagle Vision for $259 a month at your Key States Jeep and Eagle dealer.
Earlier in the program, we posed a question on preference in hiring for minorities. Should blacks and other minorities receive preference in hiring to make up for past inequalities or not? Among whites answering the question, the disparity was huge. Only 11% answered yes, 83% said no. And indeed, that does seem to reflect a lingering resentment toward affirmative action in the white community. What is a little more surprising about our poll result comes from the black community. Preference in hiring according to race. 37% of blacks polled answered yes, but a significant majority of 56% said no. And even more interesting is the trend among African Americans. 5 years ago, responding to that same question, blacks favored racial preferences to make up for past inequalities by a margin of 2-1. Tomorrow night, the story of a traffic accident in Buffalo, New York, and the charges of racism that flowed out of it.
That's why I refer to those transportation issues as racist. Sanitized, guiltless racism. The kind of racism that people can engage in the quietness of their suburban homes.
I think it's, to be honest with you, utterly ridiculous that racism is even brought into a situation such as this.
How can the unintentional death of a young black woman jaywalking across a 7-lane highway possibly be the consequence of racism? That story tomorrow night. And that's our report for tonight. I'm Ted Koppel in Washington. For all of us here at ABC News, good night.
America in Black and White will be discussed all this week on America Online. AOL members, use the keyword ABC News.
Nightline is a presentation of ABC News. More Americans get their news from ABC News than from any other source.
Wednesday, Kathy Lee. America loves her, but she's got her critics. Plenty of them. Wait till you hear what she has to say. Primetime Gets It Done, Wednesday on ABC.
There's no time to lose during Lincoln Reward Days. With your Lincoln dealer